Praise God. Amen. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak, Lord, your living word upon your people right now. I speak hearts open to receive your word. I speak the word of God will bring life to us. The word of God is creative word. The word of God is sharp. The word will, God will speak right into our hearts and cause us to grow in faith. We just thank you. We bless you. We receive that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to speak to you about believing in 2020. I know it sounds like, well, all of us are believers, or most of us down here, we believe in something. But this is not talking about what we believe in, but really to continue in believing God for something. Amen. But it is not just for 2020. I believe this is going to be something that we're going to need as a way of life, as a way to live our life on planet Earth. I know that all of us, we shouldn't be worried about coronavirus and all that sort of stuff. But let's just say, for example, if I were to give you a question, and this is only just to focus, it's not to think of the negative, okay? Just don't think of the negative part. But let's just say for this part that there's a time span that you've got. All of us have a time span on Earth, correct? Now let's just say that time span is very short now. Let's just say you have today to live. What would you do with the remaining hours that you have? What important thing would you do that you need to get done? Now, this is not talking about getting the washing done and, you know, and you may have different things to think about. But I want to ask you that question because we need to focus on what is priority. Because a lot of times we do many, many things and we believe in many, many things that needs to be done. And they are important. I'm not discounting that. But I want to highlight that as a point for you to think about, and then I'll wrap that up with an answer, which may not be your answer right now, but hopefully maybe something that you wish to consider for yourself this year and as part of life. So my text is from Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to read the whole chapter for you, so I don't want you all to read in your Bible because I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Version. And inside this, there's three segments really in this story. Jesus is speaking. There are different people involved in chapter 16, but we will talk through it as we go along. So I'm going to do my little bit to dramatize it a little bit, and hopefully that may drive home a little bit of a point and maybe highlight certain things. Most of you would have read it at some point in time, but I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Version. So just open your hearts to listen, okay? Luke chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man once had a manager to take care of his business, but he was told that his manager was wasting money. So the rich man called him in and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Tell me what you have done. You are no longer going to work for me.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is going to fire me. I can't dig ditches, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. So that people will welcome me into their homes after I've lost my job.' Then one by one, he called in the people who were in debt to his master. He asked the first one, 'Hey, how much do you owe my master?' 100 barrels of olive oil, the man answered. So the manager said, 'Take your bill, sit down, quickly write 50. The manager asked someone else who was in debt to his master, 'How much do you owe?' 1,000 sacks of wheat, the man replied. Manager said, 'Hey, take your bill, write 800. And the master praised his dishonest manager for looking out for himself so well. That's how it is. The people of this world look out for themselves better than the people who belong to the light. My disciples, I tell you, to use wicked wealth to make friends for yourselves. Then, when it is gone, you'll be welcome into an eternal home. Anyone who can be trusted in little matters can also be trusted in important matters. But anyone who is dishonest in little matters will be dishonest in important matters. If you cannot be trusted with this wicked wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? And if you cannot be trusted with what belongs to someone else, who will give you something that will be your own? You cannot be the slave of two masters. You'll be like one more than the other, or be more loyal to one than to the other. You cannot serve God or earn money. The Pharisees really loved money. So when they heard what Jesus said, they made fun of him. But Jesus told them, "You're always making yourself look good, but God sees what is in your heart. The things that most people think are important are worthless as far as God is concerned. Until the time of John the Baptist, people had to obey the law of Moses and the law and the books of the prophets. But since God's kingdom had been preached, everyone is trying hard to get in. Heaven and earth will disappear before the smallest letter of the law does. It's a terrible sin for a man to divorce his wife and marry another woman. It's also a terrible sin for a man to marry a divorced woman. There once was a rich man who wore expensive clothes and every day ate the best food. But a poor beggar named Lazarus was brought to the gate of the rich man's house. He was happy just to eat the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. His body was covered with sores and dogs kept coming up to lick him. The poor man died, and the angels took him to the place of honor next to Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. He went to hell and was suffering terribly. When he looked up and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side, he said to Abraham, 'Have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I am suffering terribly in this fire.' Abraham answered, 'My friend, remember that while you live, you had everything good, and Lazarus had everything bad. Now he's happy and you're in pain. And besides, there's a deep ditch between us. No one from either side can cross over.' But the rich man said, 'Abraham, then please send Lazarus to my father's home. Let him warn my five brothers so they won't come to this horrible place.' Abraham answered, 'Your brothers can read what Moses and the prophets wrote. They should pay attention to that.' Then the rich man said, 'No, that's not enough. If only someone from the dead would go to them, they would listen and turn to God.' So Abraham said, 'If they won't pay attention to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even to someone who comes back from the dead.'" You know, when I read through this chapter, there was one thing that came up to me, that throughout this chapter, let's believe that Jesus is talking continuously. There is a message that spreads from the beginning to the end. There's money talk from the beginning, there's money talk in the end. Rich man, fellow who used the money. But let's focus today. I know that there are many messages inside this chapter, but I want to focus today on faithfulness. God is faithful. And believers are called to be faithful. Every one of us know the great commendation we all long to hear when we see God. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, the word faithful in Greek is pistos. It also means the word trustworthy. It means reliable. It also means believing. And that's why I use the word believing as the title of this message. In 1 John 1:9, it says what? If anyone confess his sins, God is faithful. God is trustworthy. We can trust God to cancel that out. Thessalonians 5:24 says what? God, who's begun something in you, he's faithful. He will take it to completion. He can be trusted. But here then becomes the first principle that I want to talk to you about. And it's the principle of, and I wrote down this particular verse for you. It says, I tell you, make friends for yourself how to use worldly wealth so that when it runs out, you'll be welcome into eternal homes. The principle really is how to invest into eternity. What the dishonest manager did was, all he wanted to do was, how am I going to live after this? I've got no job. I can't dig ditches. So how am I going to get a means of income? And he used a very dishonest way. He used his master's debt so that people were welcome into him into his homes. Now, he did that in the natural. So how much more in the spiritual? What can we do in the natural now that will have eternity reward? What can we do? What can we transact now that gives us, in a sense of the word, if you say, credit in heaven? Now, I know that there are many things some of you may say, the word of God is true. The word of God is eternal. Worship, you will worship God in eternity too. But I'd like to present to you this day that people are important. People, the salvation of souls are important. When Jesus said to his disciples, he said, come, follow me. And what did he say? I will make you fishers of men. He wanted his disciples to learn how not just to fish to keep themselves alive naturally, but to be fishers of men. Why? He who wins souls is wise. When you bring people into eternity, you are sending friends ahead of time. You're sending a welcoming committee for yourself. And so, when we then see the next part, when Jesus said, he who is faithful in little is also will be faithful in much. And the reverse side is, he who is dishonest in small things would also be dishonest in big things. If we take the first part that says we need to transact into eternity, then what can we do to be faithful in the little things? Would it be that if I were to say that to maybe say, how about we give a tract to a person a month? Would that be a very little thing to do?
Can we be
reliable, trusted, to give a person who doesn't know Christ a treatment? Now, if you give 10 tracts a month, that doesn't mean that credit covers you for the next 10 months. You start again. Because I know some of you will come for the Murdoch festival and give 10 tracts away and think that you've, or 12 tracts and think you've covered it for the year. You know, Friday, I went for Rodney Howard Brown meeting, and he showed something quite interesting. He showed a soul-winning script. And everyone in that attendance got a soul-winning script. And then they did a little bit of a role play to show how the soul-winning script worked. Soul-winning scripts, he says, you can even read from this as you go to someone that you don't know, right? Someone that you know, a friend, a person who hasn't known Christ. And this is what you then say. He says, just follow the script. Has anyone told you that God loves you and that He has a wonderful plan for your life? I have a real quick question to ask you. If you were to die this very second, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of doubt, that you go to heaven? Now, if the person say yes, you ask, why did he actually say yes? If they respond and say, oh, because I feel I've got Jesus anyway, then according to this script, it says, proceed with script. Because you never know what he means by, I've got Jesus in my heart. So unless he really tells you he has belief in Jesus or something like that, he says, proceed with script. Or if he says, my parents are Christians, proceed with script. Or if he says, I used to attend Sunday school, proceed with script. Does that sound simple enough to do? Yeah? I mean, I'm not saying that this is the perfect one, but this is the first time I've actually seen someone actually write a script that he says, just follow the script. And they did a role play. And then he says, if the guy says no, or I hope so, he says, proceed with script. And the script says what? Let me quickly share with you what the Bible says. It reads, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The Bible also says that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you are whosoever, isn't it? Of course you are. And then the next part of the script, it says, this part, I think you might be familiar with it because Pastor Majin have taught us that as well. He said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And he gives the prayer there for you. And basically that prayer is to say, Lord Jesus, give this person long life, happy family, but make Jesus real to him and do a quick work in his heart. If he has not received Christ as a person, I pray he will do so now. And next part of the script says, if you would like to receive the gift of God that God has for you, today, say this after me with your heart and lips out loud. And then take him straight into the sinner's prayer. Follow the script. And somewhere down here it says, as a minister, after he's done that, he says, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that all of your sins are forgiven. Always remember to run to God and not away from God. He loves you and has a great plan for your life. And I'm sure you like this other part that it says, invite them to your church and get follow-up information. Two page. Can we be trusted by God to do this little thing? Give a track, follow the script for one person a month. You know, when Rodney Howard Brown said that, after that they prayed. You know that in the book of Acts, it says we receive the Holy Spirit, correct? And He will give you power. And what is the power for? To be witnesses for Him in Jerusalem, in Samaria, uttermost part of the world. And that night, Rodney Howard Brown said, all of you guys who wants to do this, wants to receive that, raise a hand. I raised my hand that night because I want to receive that. I want to be faithful to do that. So this morning, I'm going to ask you, not that I'm Rodney Howard Brown, but I'm going to dare to believe that the same that I received that night is available for you this morning. If you want to be the one that do be counted faithful in the little, to transact into eternity, and to win souls for the lost, I want you to just say, I receive when I say this. Put up your hands. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak the power of the Holy Spirit upon your people. Power, Lord. Fire, Lord. Fire. Fire for souls, Lord. Fire, Lord. Oh, Lord. Fire for your people right now. Not just now, but for 2020 and beyond. Amen. The rest of our life. Fire. Fire to drive us to speak the word of God, to share in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, the other thing down here, you find that in Luke chapter 16. The first part is about talking about the dishonest manager. Then the second part was to do with the Pharisees, correct? Pharisees, they love money. And they ridicule Jesus for that message. And then Jesus said to them, you know, the things that you think, that most people think are important, are worthless as far as God is concerned. So let me give you a little picture story. There's two guys in a lifeboat. All right, just imagine yourself. Two guys in a lifeboat. First guy says to the second guy, says, you know, I'm so upset. They launched the red boats ahead of the yellow lifeboats. The order was supposed to be yellow, then red. And by the way, you are supposed to be in the yellow. This is a red lifeboat. What are you doing in this lifeboat? And the other guy says, oh, come on. Come on, come on, come on. In an emergency situation, everyone in a rush. Who cares what color it is? And besides, I can't tell the color. I'm colorblind. And the other guy says, no, 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 no. Look, you're always doing things different from everyone. I'm really, really upset with you. You know, I've never known you to listen to instructions or do this and do that. And they are arguing by, right? And then someone out there in the ocean is yelling up to them, save me, save me. And one of the guys says, excuse me, we're having a discussion down here. Can you just wait your turn? And you are the wrong color. You are blue. You got to wait for the blue lifeboat. hey, when is the blue life boat coming? Well, I don't know. I saw it launch over the other side. You just got to wait for them on the other side, all right? Now, you say to yourselves, this is a silly conversation. This is a silly picture, correct? But yet, many a times in our lives, we are so concerned with all the things that is upsetting our lives, all the things that we're dealing with our relationship, that we forget the main point. The souls that needs to be saved. The things that you worry yourself so much about, I'm not saying they're not important, but have you ever considered, and I've been thinking a lot to myself too, if I ever considered maybe they're just worthless before God, not really as important, and maybe the enemy has come in to just do all these things so that we're so caught up in this little swirl that we haven't looked at what is important. May God help us to deal with that. May God help us to deal with that. I mean, seriously speaking, imagine yourself two fellows inside the room. Well, three fellows inside the room. Two of them are Christians, and the third one doesn't know Christ. And these two Christians are really upset with one another for whatever reason. I'm sure there are some really good reasons. But there's this fellow down there, the third person, he doesn't know Christ. So what do you think these two fellows Christians should do? Try to restore relationship, try to work out, try to have a negotiation in front of a non-Christian? Or should they pull together to witness to the non-Christian? The things that most people think are important are worthless. God never just says, not important, He just says, worthless. The Pharisees were concerned about the money, about how they look, their reputation, how they appear before people. Worthless. People used to say, you know, you went into the meeting, those guys laughed at you, and I says, it's okay. Doesn't matter. My reputation, not important. God's reputation, important. You can drag my name through mud. You can call me all sorts of names. Doesn't matter. It's what God thinks that matters. I may look stupid before you. It doesn't matter. I'm probably stupid. That's okay. I'm not that smart anyway. It's all right. But I'd rather be doing the stupid thing of giving you a track. I'd rather be giving you a stupid thing of saying, hey, do you know that God loves you? Can I pray for you? I'd rather be stupid for that. All the other bits, it doesn't matter. All the certificates and all the things that you get in the world ain't going to count for much when you come and see God. Ain't going to count for really too much. So, the last bit. Y'all are pretty quiet down here. I hope I'm not stunning y'all too much. Anyway, last bit. We have Lazarus, and we have now Lazarus as a beggar, and we got a rich man. And guess what? The beggar goes to heaven, and rich man, not really. So if Lazarus went to heaven, place of honor before with Abraham, father of faith, question I have for you is, what was Lazarus? Lazarus probably had the commendation that says, well done, good and faithful one. So what was he faithful in? What was Lazarus faithful in? You see, for days or whatever period, because he was a beggar, always outside the rich man's home. This is my take, okay? He was faithful as a message to the rich man. Because under the Old Testament, right, we all have the scripture, the verses that what says, God make the poor and God made the rich. There is God. God who created the poor and the rich. And as for the rich fella, he had an obligation to take care of the poor man. If you really believe God is in it. None of us here this day in this room are beggars. But have you ever considered that there might be a beggar outside your door? One who needs help to know Christ? Have you ever considered maybe outside our door there's also a rich man who doesn't know God? So, what then do we believe, want to be believing and faithful for in 2020? Let's invest into the eternal work. Soul winning. The steps that we take in giving a track, in doing a script, you can use another script, but this is just one, can be very little. But they have great impact. It is great impact. It is very much. Very, very, very much. And sometimes you don't really have to go too far. God places them outside the door. It may be in your university. It may be in your school. Maybe in your workplace. It may be in your neighborhood. So, if there was a time that you have that last few remaining hours, I would say, be like that dishonest manager. Transact for the future. Bring another soul into eternity. You know the movie Hacksaw Ridge? It's actually a true life story about one person who save a number of people in the Battle of Okinawa. So they were on a cliff edge, and the plateau was where the battlefront was. And the Americans were caught. And so they retreated outside of the cliff edge and down the cliff to safety. But the fellows at the top were trapped. And the ones who escaped down below thought the rest all died. But there was one guy up there. Who started taking one at a time, people, and lowering them down the cliff to the first aid station or that. And every time he did that, to lower that, you have to use the rope, isn't it? Right? His hands was Talos, because he has to lower it at quite a long, steep drop. And you will find that as he did that, after he did the first 10, he said to himself, "This is hard. I'm really, like, my hands are gone." But then he thought, maybe there's another one out there. And he said, "Just one more. Just one more." And he went back to search, at danger to himself, but he searched for just one more. The story actually says, in the life, he actually saved 75 people. And all it was, just one more. Just one more. Maybe I'll get the worship team to sing the song, "Rescue the Perishing." Maybe I'll pray. Father Lord, let's pray first. Father, I thank you for the salvation. You saved us. Help us to think beyond ourselves and think about your work. Lord, I pray that we will have a mindset of just one more. Just one more. To bring into the kingdom. I ask that in Jesus' precious name.